This is Catherine McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
We continue. Joining us from one of the hottest places in the nation right now. They said, watching overnight, they set a heat record, I think, for the Dallas-Fort Worth area. The Prince of All Marine Radio, Michael Musselman. What's going on there, Prince Michael?
What's going on, man?
Nothing. How are you? What's tell us, is this an all-time heat record? I think that's what I read, yes or no?
I think I heard something like that, yeah.
Not good. Not good. Well, it is what it is. Next question.
Well, it could be worse. Yeah. You could be dead and not experience it at all.
You're right. Always could be worse. The duck vehicles. Could you explain to people what those things are that they're reading about?
A duck, like the World War II ducks.
Yeah, the ones that were in the vehicles that were in Branson, Missouri. I believe those are variants of the amphibious ducks. Yes or no?
I don't know what you're talking about. I know what a duck vehicle is, but what about Branson? What's going on in Branson?
I want to say 13 vehicles are 13 vehicles are. 13 vehicles. 13 people were killed. 13, is that the latest number?
And oh, they were taking a tour or something?
Yeah, what it looks like to me is that you have the duck vehicles that we're familiar with, and they've been converted for civilian use. They have overheads on them and things like that. And they go out in the water,
yeah.
And, you know, I don't know if alcohol is served on the boat, but a little bit of a booze cruise. And what it looked like was, you know, the weather that went through Iowa and the Midwest yesterday, it looked like from the videotape, these vehicles along with another, cause the video shot is being shot off, what looks to me to be a one of those old Mississippi paddle boats. With a big paddle in the back and kind of the riverboat thing. People are filming off that, and you see these ducks that are crashing through these gale winds, and then evidently something bad happens to the boat, whether it goes nose down or capsizes. I haven't seen that much of the video, But explain to people what those boats are, and did you ever work with any of them, Mike, at all?
I rode on them.
Yeah, explain how we use them. Explain what they are, essentially, so because people are seeing them kind of drive through the water.
I don't see them as much anymore like we used to.
Right.
When I was a young pup, the Navy Beachmaster guys would drive them up on the beach. Right, would launch them from, the ship, and then they would go, and then they would set up the beach, and then all the amphib stuff would come ashore. They started using this, like, World War II, and then the duck is spelled B-U-K-W. So, we call it ducks, but it's a Navy acronym that stands for, it's D-U-K-W. You know what it stands for?
I do not. What does it stand for?
It means, well, it's an amphibious transport vehicle, but the whole thing behind it, I think it's like dock.
I'm looking now.
I forget what the acronym. What is the acronym? It's like dock. I know the D is like dock.
What is it? Designed by Rod Stevens of Sparkman and Stevens Yacht Engineers, a British deepwater sailor resident in the United States, blah, 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 blah. Let's see. Produced 1942 to 1945.
Utility.
So that's what. So when we're talking about, like, yeah, it was a while ago, that's when they were produced. They're World War II era. The only place,
here we go.
The only place I recall seeing them used. Is on Coronado is the only place I've seen them. I saw him. I've seen him at Pendleton a couple times, but more. I saw him mostly.
Well, you don't
in
see him much anymore.
Yeah, mostly
okay,
in Coronado.
Okay, so DUKW is a manufacturer code for the type of wheeled amphibious landing craft. The D means 1942. The U means utility amphibious. The K means all-wheel drive, and the W means two powered rear axles.
Of course. Of course. Why wouldn't
course,
it mean that
yeah.
stuff? Of course.
That's... Yeah, why? Exactly. You know, the same like the CCKW trucks. Of course.
And, you know, the other way you used yeah. to see that, you used to see these things in parades, too. Why? Because they had wheels on them. It was a military vehicle that could, you know, it was pretty light so that a city street could bear the weight. So in a parade, when I was a kid, I recall seeing these things. You'd see military guys on them, and they were in Sacramento. The Bay Area is not far away to put it on a truck and drag it up there and be in a parade, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
So the green version is a pretty stripped-down version. What you see in the water in the videotapes you've seen is something that, you know, probably, you know, went and bought these things pretty cheap and restored them a little bit and then built them out. But what it to me looks like is that weather that got on the Midwest yesterday. And again,
right.
Is there any excuse for it with all the different weather apps that are out there? I'm not sure.
No, not really. I mean, there's... If you're surprised by the weather, yeah, you're not in touch with what's going on in the world.
Right, right. And especially when you go out, I mean, when you go out, you have your NOAA weather app on your phone. I mean, if the weather can impact you, and certainly when you're out in the water, it can. So I guess, did the weather change that drastically that they were not allowed?
NOAA is tidal and ocean, though, isn't it? Yeah.
No, because up in North Dakota, NOAA radio is just, it's a system that they use where the National Weather Service issues alerts and you plug in your zip code and any alert within 100 miles pops up on your cell phone. And, I know this from doing, tornado weather up in North Dakota. North Dakota, Minnesota,
yeah, but
not like Tornado Alley, but they're no strangers to, I would dare say that Mike grew up understanding what the difference between a tornado warning and a tornado watch was, and a thunderstorm warning and a thunderstorm watch in the upper Midwest. You grow up with that kind of stuff. So, yeah, and then when you hear it scream, beep, that means they've issued the warning, but by that time it's too late. It's on you, you know. So, I don't know. So I guess that'll be...
Are you talking about the same? Because NOAA is the National Oceanic and Atmospheric. They do that kind of stuff up in North Dakota?
Yeah.
Because I only used them. I used NOAA. I had NOAA on my app when I had my boat in the water at Dana Point. For being on the ocean, it was tidal and sea and surge and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So that's why I tuned into NOAA.
Yeah. No, you can buy, we had one that used to sit in our kitchen. And if you do a search on NOAA weather radio, you program in your zip code. And then whenever there's a weather, and what I used to have to do, for our radio stations, it was a 5-station group and I was the operations manager. When this weather would hit, I'd get my vehicle, whatever time of day or night it was, and you go and you get on live and you start talking about to the emergency management people in the county, the city, fire departments, police departments, where funnel clouds have been sighted, what is their advice to people, you know, and then when it goes away, then you turn it off and you go home. And it's an important service. And so this thing would beep in my house, to tell us that there was a watch at this zip code, and it's that automated voice. At 8:15 p.m. Central Standard Time in Eden Prairie, Minnesota, funnel cloud was spotted. in zip code, but you know, and you're like, yeah. And but it's automated.
That wasn't an automated voice, by the way, people. That was more monotone, bad teacher voice that he was trying to do.
That was my computer generated voice I was trying to do.
Work on that.
Yeah, but it's just on this NOAA frequency all the time. And so I would imagine there's apps that you have, you know, well, there is, I'm looking at them, apps on Google Play, right? And so
right.
I don't understand. I'm curious to see, you know, you have these little vehicles on the water, you know, with headed into the wind, you know, and on a lake, and lakes don't normally have high surf or high swells.
Well,
and the wind kicks this up, and wow.
This is, again, it's a typical, you know, and I hate doing this. I mean, this is, I hate, you know, police shootings or anything like that, because people are like, well, what do you think? And I said, well, I don't want to think, because I wasn't that guy. But we always use hindsight, right? So looking back, yeah, this could have been avoidable. But this is the whole circle of stupidity, too. You know, when you look back and see, how did that happen? Well, at one point we saw it happening. We couldn't intervene. Someone just had to intervene at one point and stop the circle from being completed. Once the circle gets completed, then tragic happens. In this case, there's variables, many variables of people that could have intervened and said, whoa, wait a second here. What are we doing? What's going on? You know, you know, and the thing that sucks about these kind of things is there was probably checks and balances that are instituted. They're just, because it hasn't happened in a long time, oh, that doesn't happen. Or that, last time that happened was like in 1979. You know, what do we got to worry about? So they stopped doing it. And then the next group of people that come in, well, then they learned from the first group, and then they didn't do it. They don't want to be the guy that is singled out and go, oh, yeah, look at this. Look at Mac. He's the new guy. He's really petrified. He's you know, what are you scared of, Mac? So this is
right. No.
Again, it's sad that a lot of this stuff is always preventable. You learn later on that there were checks and balances that were in place, but they just stopped being adhered to because we got lazy.
You know, And I will tell you what, it would be one thing when you're talking about making mistakes and if there was only one boat out there, there wasn't, right? This other boat's out there as well. So that's like, if you said, Mac, what do you think happened? I would tell you that what I think happened was, the weather was forecasted to do one thing. And so they launched. The weather then turned and began to do something else. When they were notified that it had changed, there wasn't enough time for them to get back. You know, and in that case.
But I disagree with that, Mac.
That's just my assessment, because these guys are, if you're doing this, you know, you're a pro at doing this.
Right. This is not your first time out.
Right.
It's not your first rodeo.
Right.
You look at, and you've been doing it for so long that when you look at the horizon, you're like, and I mean, there's a thing that goes, okay, boys, we gotta start heading back.
Right.
Sorry, folks.
Right.
You know, not, you know what, this is gonna pass, or have, you know, and we don't know. I mean, hell, there could have been a discussion on board where people were like, come on, you know, you big pussy, stick it out.
Right. Right. Hey, this is our busiest time of year. You know, we're not going to say no to this money. You know, there could be that.
Right.
But I get it. If I think both of us would skew as decision makers to these guys are pros, and the only way that multiple pros get caught out there is if it takes a right turn. It makes a 90-degree turn, right? You know, my experience tells me this. Never had an incident like this before. We operate safely. We don't put people's lives in jeopardy.
Well,
blah, 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 blah.
Do you know how many times I've been burned by decisions? Meaning I made a decision, we're going to either cancel this, stop this because of
weather.
Some contingency, you know, weather or something. And it never turned out.
Right.
It didn't turn out.
Right. No, you're right.
And people look at me and go, oh, Gunner, Mrs. Cautious Gunner. You know, here comes Gunner Mom. You know, and I'm fine with that. It right. never affected me because, you know, if it never happened 100 times, the one time you do prevent it, it's worth it.
Right. Right.
You know, so I was always the guy that was like, let's call it quits. Oh, come on, you know, no, we're gonna play it safe. And then it didn't turn out, and they're like, oh, see? And you're like, yeah, you're right. I was wrong. But you know what? I like being wrong in this situation.
No, it's the only way
this
to be.
This is one of those.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's the only way to be. And so, to me, when I look at situations like this, and I say, okay, if you say that there's some version of Mike Musselman on that lake in Branson, Missouri, there's some version of him someplace, the only way that he gets caught. Have you ever been caught by the weather, whether diving
no.
or
no.
operating as a Marine?
No.
Yeah.
No.
I'm trying to think. I don't.
The only time that I ever did something close like that, it was self-induced.
What do you mean?
But we were going to San Clemente Island on my boat. You know, it's 24 feet. It's a big boat, but it's for, as far as the ocean goes, it's a freaking speck of sand.
It's a core.
But,
hey, okay, talk about when you had your boat, and I'm sure it's improved in the years since you got rid of it, but talk about.
Well, let me tell you what happened.
What kind of weather apps do you have and all that kind of stuff?
So, on my boat, I had, of course, I had the GPS, high speed GPS. I didn't have the radar, but it was pretty high speed stuff, you know, and it was wireless and it connected to NOAA weather app and it would put like weather stuff or things that were going on real time on the display. It was cool. But, the one time we were going across, it was beautiful out. And I always look at the channel marker. So NOAA has buoys, and I would pull up the buoy information on the app, and I would look at swell and peak and duration, you know, so I knew, you know, like how big the swells are. The swells are not a big deal. It's the time in between. That's the scary part. The shorter the distance, that means the deeper the trough, you know, so you got a high peak from the top of the swell, but then you got that trough. And you don't want to be in that in a boat when it's the rhythm is really close together, because that means you have a tendency to go down deep into the trough. So we were going across and it was just me and a buddy, but we had all our gear. We had a scuba gear. We had all this stuff. And, you know, on my boat, I had UHF radio comms. I had everything, you know,
right.
One could only imagine yeah.
Mike, he knows how.
Yeah, I had flares. I had everything. I had backups to backups, you know.
Right.
And again, people were always people that saw that, they always make fun of it at first. They're like, oh, look at you, Mr. Cross. And I'm like, yeah. I mean, why would you not want to be, you know, it's your life. You got one of them, bud.
Hello.
You know, why would you want to screw with it? So we're going across and, I get an alert that in the middle of the channel, like, you know, maybe another 10 miles from me, there's some large wave activity, you know, and it's kind of not like a rogue wave, but it's abnormal. So we kind of still go through. We're going, okay, all right. So the swells are getting bigger. So I turn the boat. Now we're going at a 45 degree over the swells instead of going straight up, you know. We're going 45 degree over the rolls, so we're slipping down. And that's, if you get seasick, that's not a fun ride. I get it.
Are you a seasick guy?
No, I don't get sick. Yeah. No, not at all.
Me neither.
And so it gets really bad. Well, at one point, I tell my buddy, I said, hey, here's the deal. Cause we're in wetsuits already, you know, and we got all our gear. We got my BC vest. If we take on water, hold on real tight. So we do. we go down into this big swell, and the wave comes right over the top of the boat. And, you know, so I powered up. I basically hit the throttle because you want to get the nose up on a boat. So I put throttle up, and which then causes all the water to rush to the back, which, again, I had a contingency for that. I had run-through drains installed on the boat that if any water got on the boat, went straight over the side, out the back. So I had, on the back end, on the bottom, I had two 1.5-inch holes that were fed through with pipes that went through the back end. So if water got in, it just flushed right out. And then my bilge would take over on anything that couldn't hold.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, it's a good plan.
So, yeah, so I had all that installed just for this moment, you know. And it worked out. We took on a lot of water. I mean, it came up to my knees in the boat instantly. I mean, it was so fast that you didn't really have time to react to it. I just hit the throttle, and boom, we were gone. We were up. Nose was up. Water's pouring out the back. And we're safe. And we laughed about it. You know, but so the contingency worked in that case.
Why did you laugh about it?
Because it was cool, man. I mean, it was, you know, to have your boat go down a trough, go like on the backside of a wave and go down into a wave and have the wave basically come completely over your whole boat, swamping it. So when I came out, it was like a port, boom, boom, that split second. My boat was full of water to my knees. So all I did was slam the throttle forward, put the nose in the air, and which caused, again, gravity. Then all the water rushing back was going out the hose, and then the bilge pumps were just kicking it out. Some of it went over the sides, of course, but we got the weight out. You know, that's what kills you, is the weight of the water in your boat.
So once you dodged that, another near-death experience, then it was funny?
Yeah, it wasn't near-death. I mean, the worst thing would have been floating in the middle of the Pacific and off the coast of California.
But you are not...
I had my UHF radio.
You are not unfamiliar with near-death experiences, right?
No, I've had a lot of them.
Okay, so what is the reaction if nobody gets hurt when those things happen?
You laugh.
Everybody looks around.
Everybody laughs.
Holy shit!
Oh, my God.
And then it was.
Can you believe what we just went through?
That was awesome. Did you say that after the night on the Euphrates in the boats, or not?
No. I think it was. That was more relief, just to get the hell out of the boat.
Why? Because you were helpless. Because you were not.
Yeah, I didn't like that feeling. That was a bad feeling to be in. I mean, yeah, I didn't like that feeling. Because you have no control. I mean, it's like. They said, when you go down in a helicopter, it happens so fast. You know, you have no control. Yeah, you feel good afterwards. You're like, oh, I'm alive. But it's not the same feeling. It's not the euphoric feeling of, whoa, did you just see what we did? We got out of that one.
Yeah, it's a bit different. You know? It's a bit different. When something lands near you, you know, and then they're big. It's like little boys and BB guns. Oh, shit. It's just a bigger version of that. But when you don't feel in control, that's why I asked that. Mike's talked about, like, Mike was the story he's told before, but essentially he's on the river, Euphrates River, with special people. And I'm on the other end of these radios dealing with this kind of shit show that's going on the river. And Mike's in the middle of it. And being helpless, I mean, for instance, Mike, when you're on the ground and when you're with grunts and you're doing grunt stuff, do you feel helpless no matter what's landing around and what's going on?
No, I don't feel helpless at all. I'm in control.
Yeah. So all of a sudden you're on a river and there's other people doing stuff and not the same feel.
No, a completely different feeling. Yeah. Not a feeling you want to be part of. I'd never been in the water. And that made me believe that my feelings of I never wanted to, you know, if I lived in World War II era, I would have never wanted to have been in the Navy, you know, because being on a ship, you know, the problem with a ship is like that. It takes everybody's got to be doing exactly what's needed. And then still, you may run out of luck. And then you end up in the water. And the water is not a place you want to be in when you're trying to survive, like, a, you know, like, and have control. You don't have control in the water. You, as I used to say, even, you know, in the ocean, you're the lowest thing on the food chain, man. Plankton's higher than you. So I just never liked, I was never comfortable in the water as far as an environment to fight in, like a battlefield. I was always comfortable in the water as far as swimming or diving.
Explain that to everybody what plankton, everybody who doesn't watch SpongeBob SquarePants, explain to everybody what plankton is.
Plankton is a guy that lives in the ocean that owns a burger joint that serves crust, or what's the burgers called? I forget what they're called.
The Krusty Krab.
No, that's the lobster that owns that. Plankton is his competitor that's always trying to steal his secret recipe.
Dude, how do you know so much about SpongeBob? You don't even have a kid.
Yeah, I do. She was around when SpongeBob.
She was the one when SpongeBob came on. Yeah. SpongeBob. Oh,
yeah.
Oh my God. That's hilarious. That's awesome.
Patrick and SpongeBob and what's the squirrel?
Squidward. Squidward.
No, that's the Squidward.
Gloom and Doom.
Sandy the squirrel. Sandy the, she's a squirrel that lives underwater in a sealed habitat. She's the only air-breathing mammal in the whole equation. And SpongeBob SquarePants is basically like a yellow sponge. He looks more like a cleaning sponge than a sea sponge, but I'm not going to worry about it.
He lives in a pineapple under the sea.
Under the sea.
SpongeBob SquarePants.
And he's afraid to drive. He can't drive, and his driving instructor is a pufferfish, and every time she gets excited and gets scared, she puffs up, and she's like, you failed again, SpongeBob, because she can't talk. She's all full of water. Oh, sorry. And SpongeBob talks with a real squeaky voice, and he's the most annoying. But then his buddy, Patrick, is a very slow...
Hey, SpongeBob! He's that guy. But that's Patrick.
Yeah, he's real slow.
He's a hoity-doity. SpongeBob's always trying to do the right thing, make people happy. He's a bit of a nervous twit, and he always gets himself involved in crazy adventures. Yeah. So I didn't know you were a SpongeBob guy.
Yeah, and Squidward plays the what instrument?
I don't know.
The oboe.
Squidward plays the oboe. Cartoons change so much. You know, we grew up with Bugs Bunny, you know, and, you know, if you look in
the Roadrunner.
Yeah, you look in the Bugs Bunny archives, like, Bugs Bunny's goofing on Adolf Hitler, right? He's goofing on the Japanese in World War II. Bugs Bunny, and I mean, he was like a caustic, tough cartoon guy, you know? SpongeBob, he's a pumpkin, man. He's one of the hummingbird people. They love SpongeBob. So, a little bit different. Always doing the right thing.
Yep. Tom and Jerry, Bugs Bunny, all of the Bugs Bunny stuff. So I'm talking like Yosemite Sam, you know.
Oh, and it's all violent, too, like Foghorn Leghorn. I say, boy. That guy was funny.
Well, Foghorn Leghorn was a racist.
Oh, my God. No, he wasn't. He wasn't a racist.
He was.
His character was based on... he was just a character of Southern people. Southern bosses.
He was a straight-up racist, man.
Was he? No. Yeah. You identify with that character, with characters in movies that were racist. But Foghorn Leghorn, he was just a chicken. He's a big chicken.
No, he's a rooster.
Was he a rooster?
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me.
Male chickens are called roosters. Sorry.
Don't, hey, you're going to get Rudy involved in this, and then Montana Man's going to have to explain what a mule is. What? Is it different than a mule?
Yeah, Rudy just got his mind blown. What? That's where a rooster comes from?
Who knew? Who knew? I didn't learn that. Oh, listen, here's one. Exploring the hidden racist past of Looney Tunes.
Yeah, the whole show was racist.
Why is Foghorn Leghorn racist? God, who puts this much thought into it? I didn't think he was racist when I was a little kid. I thought he was funny.
That's where I learned to be racist. With Foghorn Leghorn.
Watching Looney Tunes. Foghorn Leghorn was created during a time filled with tension, so perhaps that's why. And there's a poll. Was Foghorn... why is Foghorn Leghorn racist? Hold on, let me just pick... here's an answer. He is a chicken. Perhaps he believes in chicken superiority of dog hounds. To assume he is a southern character that is racist, well, that's prejudicial. The questioner has a great future in tabloid journalism. I agree with that. I think that he was base. He's a southern. He's more ridiculing southern culture than he is a racist, because he doesn't discriminate against that hound dog, right? Or that other chicken, that skinny chicken that he grabs by the neck all the time. Come here, boy. Right?
Yeah. Well, no, that's a chicken hawk. He's always...
Oh, the chicken hawk, right?
The chicken hawk. Yeah. Yeah, he's a racist, man. I mean, he's looking back at it. He's a straight
up... No,
he's
not. He's
white
not.
Supremacist.
Listen to you.
He's a white supremacist.
You sound like a Democrat today. What happened? Did you fall and hit your head?
Nope. This is just the way it is. The facts according to God.
There you go. Email. What's the worst weather either one of you have ever been in? The worst weather I was in was on the Ranger in the Northern Pacific. I thought the thing was going to break in two. Literally. We went the trough that Mike described. Imagine being in a 1,000-foot aircraft carrier and going through those
Being tossed like you're in a canoe.
Exactly. Yeah. We went over one, and then we came down in a trough. And when we hit, I thought one of the boilers came through the floor. And I hopped out of my rack. I grabbed my boots and my pants, and I ran. And people were coming out of their staterooms like, what the fuck? I'm like, I don't know, but some shit just broke loose, and it's huge. And, I got to my office, and the DCA, Damage Control Authority, got activated, blah, 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 blah. We didn't go to general quarters. But, I mean, that's 1,000 feet of steel with close to 6,000 people on it. Mother Nature, man, that bitch, holy shit, when she lets it rip in, like, the Northern Pacific. And then the following week, one of the dudes, we had an open rack in my stateroom. So it's four racks in there. Only three of them were used. So they would stick people that came over to go to the dentist from, like, a destroyer. So this dude comes over from the USS Polar, and he goes to the dentist. And so we're talking, like, hey, man, how's it going? How was that storm? They were like, you guys are like being on land. Like, we didn't eat for 2 days. Shit was everywhere. It was unbelievable. We thought there was no way that we'll survive this, and we did. Because we were bitching on an aircraft carrier, the destroyers. And so, Mike, tell me if this is wrong. The guy's from the USS Lewis B. Puller. He has a hat, USS LB, Lewis B. Puller, right? DD, mm-hmm. Whatever the hell. I said, hey, man, I'll trade you something for your hat. And he says, nah, man. So he forced me to steal. I was forced to steal his hat. I offered to trade him, but there's no way that I'm not having a USS Lewis B. Puller hat, right? So do you think I was wrong in that situation?
No, absolutely not.
Thank you. I've wondered that. I felt so. Yeah, he came on. He was like, "Yeah, you guys, blah blah blah." That's the worst weather I was on. I was on a riverboat on the Ohio River tendon bar when something like what happened last night happened. But we were on a big, they were called Johnson Party Boats, tied up behind Riverfront Stadium at the time where the Reds played. And I was tending bar. I think I was 22. And we're down the river, and when the weather changes. And we were not going to get back in time. So they just beached the boat. They just turned and drove it, you know, got it to kind of 90 degrees and just beached it on a shallow beach. And we stayed there. And then when it was time to leave, they put that thing in reverse and got us off the beach, and back we went. Shallow draft boats, man. Shallow draft boats. Worst weather you've ever been in your life, Mike, was where?
Worst weather?
In your life. Was the march up when you got electrocuted?
The dust storm. Yeah, the dust storm was probably one of the worst. Worst weather?
Yeah.
I really never had bad weather, though. I mean, not really.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I also was, when we were on the Kitty Hawk, we were around Cape Horn.
Not
Cape Horn. Cape Good Hope. Whatever the one. Either Cape or Horn, whatever the South America one was. And it was really, really, really bad there.
Cape Horn, I think.
Yeah.
You don't know that from the Shackleford thing? Shackleton? Sorry.
No, I just can't.
I know you're sensitive about that.
He didn't go around the Horn. He was down in Prince Edward Sound. So we went around there, and the same thing. They took the planes that were on board and then flew most of them off to some place on land. And those guys probably partied their ass off in Argentina.
Cape Horn is off the coast of Chile, so that's in Latin America.
Yeah, Cape Horn. Yeah. So I was right the first time. So,
congratulations.
Yeah, that was probably pretty bad, that one, because that was the first time ever that I was kind of nauseous at sea. I mean, it is getting to me. Because, like you said, you know, when you're watching an aircraft carrier, I was up on the bridge, the Admiral's Bridge, which is right below the Captain's Bridge. And we were kind of looking at the weather, and the boat was going over, and waves were coming over the bow of the aircraft carrier. And so to get that perspective, you know, the aircraft carrier's bow is like 100 feet is 100 feet above the water. And waves were coming over the top, like, you know, splashing over the top. And it was like, and you could watch the whole aircraft carrier, like, it's like a canoe, acting like a canoe in a windy day on a lake. It was just getting tossed everywhere.
Everywhere. And then you turn around and you look at the plane guard behind you, which is a frigate or a destroyer that if something goes in the water behind you, those some bitches are getting thrown everywhere. Seriously. I mean.
Yeah. sleep in the rack. Well, they have to try. They have a thing on the rack. You know, we had it too, but we never used it.
Yeah, we never used it.
It was actually straps that kept you from rolling out of the rack. But those guys, man, they had like a net that covered the whole thing.
For good reason.
Yeah, ooh, dude, that was, oof.
You would watch it, right? If you see, one of the cool things about being the XO of the Marine Detachment is that I could go anywhere. All I'd look at people and say is like, hey, this is a nuclear weapons issue, you know, so just get out of my way and shut up. Go wherever I want. So.
Exclusion area.
Yeah. Exclusion area.
Exclusion area going on right here.
I own the exclusion areas. Get out of my way.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'd be at general quarters. It wouldn't matter to me. I'd go anywhere I want. During heavy weather, nobody goes outside. You can't do this. You can't do that. I could. But you go up there and you take a look, and that poor ship, man, it's behind you, and you're seeing it, its tower, like, go left, way over, go right, way over, starboard port. Those are nautical terms in case you don't know them. And it's just back and forth, and you're just watching going, shit, man, look at that.
But those things won't sink, though, dude. I mean, they're
That's what's amazing
tight.
About them. That's what's amazing
yeah,
about them.
Yeah, I mean, they go, it is crazy to watch some of those things, because, you know, oh, my God. Like Coast Guard cutters, you know, same thing. Man, those things go right through. They just cut right through the waves.
Amazing.
No questions asked.
Amazing. Yeah, it is. If you when you yeah, see the Navy, it's cool. When you see the, let me just tell you, we make fun of the Navy all the time, but and for good reason a lot of times. But the Navy, when you see them do their shit, whether it is underway replenishment, whether it is vert rep, whether it's refueling at sea, Navy's like they're pretty impressive, man. And you see them, you know, moving through storms and shit. It's pretty impressive. Pretty impressive what the United States Navy does. Guys for Mike and I to do it for a couple of years, you know, to gain some appreciation. I would have never have seen the shit that I saw in the 2 years in my career. What the Navy is, how it projects power. I mean, shit, we pulled off the coast of of North Korea. We're right at the DMZ, and it's a national. Event for North Korea, because with a flick of a switch, those EA-6Bs and our electronic warfare guys, even back in the 80s, we could fry their shit. I mean, shit, they did it to San Diego one time. It was cool. I would not want to do it for any longer than I did it, but it was awesome to watch. And the whole flight ops thing. Watching naval aviation go and how we do our ship. My favorite was to watch the 46 pilots during a vert rep. They're cross-teching, you know, whatever supplies that we're getting, food and all kinds of shit from another ship that is off either side of us. And these 46 pilots, at least at the time they were 46, it looked like a ballet. These guys were awesome pilots. And so I used to love watching going up and watching vert rep. So, did you have a favorite thing that you used to watch, go up and watch?
No, I just like watch, you know, flight ops. I loved watching flight ops. It was always cool.
Yeah, it was always cool. What were the aircraft on the, well, we were there at the same time. So, the F-14, pretty cool to watch. The S-3 Viking.
Yeah, we had Hornets.
Right? The S-3 Viking was Viking. Cool. Because it was really easy on your ear when it landed and took off. The A-6 took off like a beast.
The prop plane, what's the little E-2?
C-2. C-2 and the E-2C, right? The one that the AWACS version of it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had that on board.
No, that's cool.
Then we had the one that I flew on was the what is it, the Greyhound or the cargo one?
Yeah, the C-2. The cargo version, and they put the seats in backwards.
Yeah, you face the other way.
Oh man, we got to the aircraft and my ribs were killing me. Like, why was that? When I went out the first time, we flew out there, landed, tail hook. So,
no, that was a good time. I mean, my time on sea duty was really just from Philadelphia Naval Shipyard around Libo Hound Port. Forever around South America, and then back into San Diego, and then I went to 1-5.
So how long was it? 2 years? Was it? Did you do 2 years or not?
I did. See, I probably got there.
Probably close.
I left. Close. No, like just under a year.
Oh, really? So you just hopped on for the ride? Yeah. What a boondoggle, man! That's bullshit. Somebody should investigate that.
Dude, it was, cause like I said, I'm trying to think, like, I got there, yeah, in the spring of 91, or like right after the Gulf War was over with. So yeah, spring of 91, right? Cause it was over in February or March or something like that. And then we then left shortly after that. I was in dry dock for a few months and then she floated. Then we did a trials. Then we went down to Norfolk, picked up the CAG or the representative planes. We only had like 12 planes on the whole thing, so it was just a ferry mission. And then, pulled into San Diego after about 4 months, 5 months at sea. And it was just, All it was pure Liberty stops, dude. No missions, no nothing.
What the hell?
It was rough life, dude.
All right, here's and the... Then hold on, hold on. I mean, that's where he fit.
Ship. We had we were the first experimental ship that brought Navy women on board. So, yeah, and then who do they put in charge to guard the
Marines.
Northern area?
Marines, of course. Marines. Yes. That's like, well, that was a bad idea.
The proverbial fox guarding the hen house.
Foghorn Leghorn guarding the hen house. I say, boy,
yeah.
Nobody going in there. Because we got, yeah, we did the same thing. We had contractors fly out. You know, so we do.
Well, all the Navy guys hated us because all the girls were dating Marines. Like, and there was only like 20 of them on board, but still.
There was 20 female sailors on board?
Yeah, it was like the first time they did. It was like a big deal because it was the first time that they were doing this.
We, I remember being in. I remember being in the Philippines on our way out to. At the time, we did not go inside the Persian Gulf, so you stayed right at the Straits of Hormuz, south of it, a place called Gonzo Station. So anyway, we're headed that direction, and so we tie up in the Philippines. And there's this subtender next to us, and subtenders had females on them. And they were talking about, Marines are talking about, like, yeah, we're talking to these guys that are on there. They have dances on their boat. What? Mm-hmm. Yeah, like in the forward transfer area, they have like dances. They like put up decorations and they have dances. What?
Yeah. Well, before, that's all, like, USS Simon Lake was a subtender when I was in England. And, she was tied up to the dock almost all. She never went to sea. I mean, and all it was on there were girls. And then we'd show up to do like refueling missions with submarines. And it was just uncomfortable.
Here's an email.
It was, dude. It was.
Here's an email. Gun Talk. Does the gunner have an opinion on ammo produced by IMI, Israeli Military Industries?
Yeah. Now I know. Well, there's big controversies over IMI of like, you know, how they're just not very good ammo. It's not very good ammo. That's true to a point. I'm not a big IMI fan because of the fact that they did have some problems with their quality control stuff. It has since then been fixed, but I don't think they've really recovered from that bad publicity that they had, and I don't know. I forgot what year that was, but yeah, he's probably referring to the IMI ammunition debacle that they had. But you know, since then they have been fixed. That whole situation has been fixed.
Okay, so you're not opposed to IMI ammunition?
Not really. I mean, I would shoot IMI before I'd shoot Wolf.
Oh,
you know, Wolf being that crappy Soviet stuff, but
all right. All
yeah.
Right. And then he has this: ducks are in use in various tourist type operations all over the Midwest. I did not know that.
Yeah, and they're also used in like state and other, you know, Department of Fish and Game, so natural resources where they're big waterways, they'll use them as well. I mean, they're good vehicles. They're strong.
Yeah.
You don't really hear a lot of times where they're actually capsizing or sinking.
Well, this is the first I've heard. I mean, there may have been others, but this is the first I've heard.
You know, this is the first time I ever heard it. Because, like I said, I'd see them go through the surf at Camp Pendleton.
Yeah.
You know, take on water. I mean, unless they're so heavily modified, civilianized. No, that's the problem with some stuff, man.
Yeah, they get out of spec.
Yeah, they do stuff. They make the boat no longer safe because they need, you know, more room for this or beer coolers, you know, installed. It's stupid, dude.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. And it doesn't come to light until there's some kind of tragedy because it's not very well. There's not a whole lot of oversight because oversight doesn't happen till something like this happens. Next comment, or next email. Shackelford, Shackleton, what do you refer to? You guys speak like there's part of the story I should know about. What am I missing?
Oh, my God.
There you go. Here you go. All right, do it.
I'm taking a deep breath.
Do it in 60 seconds and just tease them with the story and the name of the book.
Read the book South by Sir Ernest Shackleton. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay, there you have it.
Tell
them why. It is, in your opinion, what?
The greatest book or greatest story on human endurance and the endeavor of the human spirit to stay alive, and it's the greatest example of leadership at its finest. Pure, like unadulterated, pure leadership.
Yeah.
No greater example in history. You have to agree with me, though, Mac.
Well, you know what? I should read the book. I've got like 17 books I'm supposed to read right now, so I'm failing. I'm failing in my reading. I should catch up to that. Maybe like when we're driving, if you shut up, I'll read the book. Yeah. He couldn't even say anything with a straight face, could you?
Dude, I'm gonna. Now, because you said that, I'm going to be extra. Extra.
Dude, you only have one gear. That is Chatty Cathy gear. Okay? The only time you're not in Chatty Cathy gear is when you have something in your head. Like Gunner walks in, hey, we're so-and-so.
No, I'm tired when I'm tired.
I don't know about it. I've never been around you when you're tired. We're so-and-so. I don't know. He went that way, though. Okay. Like, what are you doing? I can't talk. And that's when he's got something in his head. He's trying to get something done. Other than that, he walks in. Hey, what's going on? Nothing. Pulls up a chair. What are you doing? Nothing. What's Rudy doing? I don't know. Rudy, what are you doing? Where's Napa Man? Oh, he's eating. There's a shocker.
Of course. Yeah, yeah.
So he's eating. The Napa Man apologized to me last night because he said he yelled at me and cussed at me. I said, you did? When? He said, well, when we were talking, I'm like, dude, I don't.
He called you fridge?
No.
Fudge? you meany fudge guy.
Napa Man, and I would get mad at him for doing that, you know? Because, like, to me, if you're going to say the F word, say the F word. Napa Man, in all of our presence, would say fudge. Like, all right, dude. Right. Just, do you want to be put in timeout corner? Okay, or smashed in the side of the head, don't say fudge in my presence. Either say the F word or don't use it, okay? Fudge offends me. What? That's right.
Yeah.
We don't say fudge. But he would say fudge. And so he says, hey, man, I'm sorry, but what if I clicked off safe? I'm like, dude, in the spectrum of clicking off safe, that was like a JV event. You didn't even, like... You barely got it off safe. I said, you should have heard the gunner yesterday morning going off safe. That was worthy of it.
Well, he's a Nerf gun going off safe. There's a difference.
Because he's a nice guy. He's a good, nice boy. Right?
He's a good Catholic.
And it would be very, like, gunner clicks off safe yesterday. Do you think he sends me a text and say, hey, Mac, I, like, went a little off yesterday. Sorry about that. Gunner didn't even occur to him. Right? Luke, oops. Never mind. Napa Man, who's a nice, nice boy, he doesn't even get fully off safe, and he's already being a nice guy and apologizing. He's a good Christian guy. So that's why we love him. That's why we love him. Even if he buys small tires and lets his wife dress him up a little bit feminine. So, yep. So. You got to be careful with that, though. Your wife lays out your clothes, and all of a sudden you've got these, like, gray shorts with gray socks and these, like, deck shoes, like... Dude, like, stop it. You're like a character in SpongeBob right now. Stop it. Throw some manly stuff on there. Throw a pair of boots. Throw some flip-flops on. Who dressed you? Oh, my wife told me this looked really good. Okay. All right, man. You got to, like, get a little bit more guy stuff in this. Really? Yeah. All right, what are you doing this weekend?
What am I doing? I don't know. I'm not...
What?
I got some classes that are training that I got to do with the Granbury PD guys this weekend.
Are you giving the classes, participating in them? What are you doing?
No, I'm just participating in them.
Oh, all right. Are you like an unofficial cop in Granbury? I love that.
No. No, just a normal citizen that likes to stay involved.
Oh, really? You're just a normal, involved citizen?
Yep.
All right.
Nothing special.
My daughter's 25th birthday today, so happy birthday to Catherine. So,
are you serious?
Yeah, Catherine turned 25 today. So just quit her job.
Wow.
And Catherine was a manager at a department store here, was the youngest manager in their chain. But retail's a bit of a grind. And so I think she'd like to
retail's
do...
Tough.
Yeah, it's shitty hours, weekends, stuff like that. So I think she's looking
to... You're dealing with shitty people.
Yeah, so we're talking one day, and I was like, well, how was work? She's like, oh, my God. I'm like, what? She said, we had all these people call out. And I said, what does that mean? She said, well, they called in and said they weren't coming to work today. I'm like, so did they get fired for that? She's like, well, no, you can't fire them for it. I said, but they were on the schedule, and they didn't show up. Yeah.
They didn't fulfill their obligation?
Right.
What?
Did they get somebody else to work for them? Well, no. They just call in and say, I said, yeah, that's not the way it works when I run it. You're responsible for it.
No.
If you can't come in, you better get somebody else to come in. But let me tell you what, the solution isn't I eat it every time you don't come in for work. That ain't the solution. That's how you get fired. She's like, Dad. You're 60, okay? We don't do it like that anymore. I'm like, all right, whatever. I'm done with this.
That's the problem.
Exactly.
But that's the problem, because they don't do it the right way.
Oh, trust me. But
they continue to do it the wrong. My daughter tells me all the same time. She's, you know, she works with Lowe's. I know a bunch of the guys there, so I talk to them, and they tell me, you know, they're like, oh, your daughter is, man, she's great. I mean, she's a good worker. She's got really good work ethic. And I always tell her, well, she takes after her dad. And they just laugh. joking around, you know, my daughter will come home and say something like, you know, this, that. And I'm like, well, just go tell him, you know, next time tell him this. She goes, Dad, you can't do that. You know? You know, and I'm like, what do you mean you can't do that? And it just dawns on me that, yeah, the whole system is broken. Yes. We've accepted the new norm. This is the new norm. The new norm is, you know, it's a broken flawed system.
Yeah, the new norm is you're living in a pineapple under the sea where everybody's feelings count more than what they do.
Yeah.
And I don't, like, I look at that world and I'm like, like somebody, I told Colleen she was stupid this morning when I was on the air, I can't remember. She left her phone like here. It went off. I'm trying to do this. I got this craziness going on. I'm like, really? We're just gonna be stupid. So somebody sent me an email. Hold on, let me get it.
Oh no, someone got upset with you.
Well, they pointed it out. They didn't get upset. They said, kind of interesting, Mac. You're a little bit old school relative to your parental style. You don't hear too many people telling their kids they're stupid. Okay, so here's my question. When they do stupid stuff, what do you say to them?
You gotta I don't call my daughter stupid when she does stupid stuff. What I tell her is, you're acting stupid. I don't say to her she is stupid. You're acting stupid right now.
I say you're, like, stupid.
You know what, Dan?
I yelled at him, too. You're stupid. What are you doing? They're like, yeah. I'm not stupid. I'm like, oh, then that's stupid, though. Oh, yeah, but I'm not stupid. Oh, you're right. You're not stupid. You just do stupid stuff. So now where does that leave us? That I'm really smart and I just made a mistake that's kind of stupid.
Right.
Well, yeah. Okay. All right, get over it. Stop doing that. So, yeah, it's old school. It's old school. But let me tell you, if your kids do stupid shit and you don't tell them that that's stupid, then you're going to, trust me, you're going to have a long life. What do you tell them? Oh, he's so smart. He just made a little whoopsie. Really? Okay. All right. All right. That's not how I do it. Right? And let me just tell you, our kids are all like good people, but come on, if they can't take your stupid, good God. Like, what is the world coming to? Then you are living in a pineapple under the sea where your kid calls in sick because they don't want to go to work and nothing happens to them. Trust me, if they want to progress.
Yeah, the wife hates that word, though. She hates what? That word.
Which word?
Stupid.
Stupid?
Stupid.
Does she like, does she like shut up?
No, no.
So when you tell her, when you say shut up, what does she say?
I don't tell people shut up. That's rude. I do not tell people that.
What?
Okay. Yeah, I don't do that.
Tell me if these words have ever come out of your mouth. Hey, okay. Shut the fuck up.
I can't remember. I say, I don't like that word. I don't use that. Now,
oh my God.
I may have said something that sounds like that, maybe. But I can't say for sure that I've actually said that.
Unless, this is how I respond to those questions. Unless you have me on audio, right, I don't believe I've ever said that.
Yeah. See, that's my position too.
Yeah. Unless you have it on audio, no. That is not me.
Right.
I did not say that. Thank you. All right. Right. Are we clear? Are we clear, Crystal?
Was not me in the Oval Office.
That was not me.
Lewinsky.
Hey, exactly. Saying that. Oh, another email.
Right.
Boys, what do you think? Supposedly, Cohen's got Trump being recorded talking about paying off the Playboy chick.
Playboy chick? What's
yeah,
Playboy chick?
That was another payment. Wait a minute. That surprises you? Come on.
Fucking Stormy Daniels?
No. Another. There's
or
another,
a new one.
Another one. There's
oh,
another one.
God.
There's another settlement. And supposedly Cohen. Look, when you deal with slimy people, you get slimed.
Right.
So are you surprised?
Yes.
Let me tell you, God only knows what Bob Mueller is going to find in what they yanked out of Cohen's shit. Could you imagine those guys going through, hey, Mac, listen to this. Wah! Yeah.
Yeah.
He's icky. Yeah, he's like the fixer that didn't fix things very well. So, anyway.
Hey, you know what reminds me of a joke real quick?
Yeah.
You want to hear a joke real quick?
Sure.
This is a funny joke.
All right.
Stormy Daniels and Queen Elizabeth die on the very same day, and they go to heaven.
Okay.
So that they're at the gates, and for some reason, today and today only, they can only allow one of them in.
So
St. Peter asks them, what traits do you have that outweighs, you know, why, give me a reason why you should be here, not the other person. So Stormy Daniels, thinking real quick, she takes off her blouse and opens her up her, shows her boobs and says, these are magnificent creations that only God can appreciate. And so, you know, they're like, okay, crazy, but whatever. And, Queen Elizabeth walks over and says, do you have a bathroom? And he says, yeah, it's right here. She walks over there and just walks in and flushes the toilet. And St. Peter says, Queen Elizabeth, you're in. And then she goes inside, and Stormy Daniels is kind of puzzled and bewildered and says, how in the world did that, you know, she just went in and flushed the toilet. She goes, my dear, even in heaven, a royal flush beats a pear anytime.
Ah, well done. I didn't know where that was going. You had toilet, you had Stormy Daniels. I thought it was going to be much more disgusting than what you ultimately came out with. So,
No.
Well done.
Yeah, I heard that, and that was actually, that one was pretty funny.
So, is it expected to be as hot today in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, the greater Granbury area? How long is this heat going to be in the area? And are you going to, for your training, are you going to have to go outside And if so,
yeah,
are you going to go?
Tomorrow I'll be outside.
Oh, yeah, shit.
I'll get it.
All right. Do you know there's an excessive heat warning? It's 103 in Granbury right now, early in the day. Headed for a high of 107.
It is?
If you're 103 right now, you're going to bust. Siri. Hey, Saturday, supposed to be 111.
Hey, Siri.
What?
Are you saying, doesn't work when you're talking on the phone?
Hey, Siri.
She doesn't work when you're on the phone.
She doesn't? Hey, Siri.
No.
And 110 on Sunday. Mike, how long is this shit going to last, man? That's no.
I think it's over. It starts coming down this week. Like Saturday?
No.
Today?
No.
Yeah.
No. Hello? I just told you. Okay. These are the forecasted highs for Granbury. Today, 107. Tomorrow, Saturday,
right.
111. Sunday, 110. Monday, 109. Tuesday, 103.
See, coming down.
Tuesday, 103. Wednesday, 104. Thursday, 106. Friday, 106. Dude, stay inside. Just do what Ramadan, right? Set your clock. Sleep during the day. Go out at night.
Oh, like Ramadan?
Yeah. See, this is a little known fact about Ramadan. Reverse clock. Sleep during the day. Get up when the sun's going down because we're fasting sunrise to sunset, right? So we sleep during those hours. Then we get up. Once the sun goes down, what can we do? We can booze it up and rip it up all we want.
Go chase skirt.
Everybody like, what? Yeah, you didn't know that, did you? We're fasting sun up to sun down. Some of us might be. Some of us are not, though. So there you go. Little known facts of Ramadan. So there you have it. All right, that'll do it. I'm done with you. You know what? I'm kind of more conscious at the time, although I didn't do very well today, because I know Tina's like sitting there with her stopwatch, strumming her fingers. Michael, you're supposed to go to
she didn't do that.
Piggly Wiggly. Yeah. You're supposed to go to Piggly Wiggly with me today.
We don't have Piggly Wigglies here.
Well, whatever.
That's like Louisiana. That's like the deep south.
That's Foghorn Leghorn country. Camp Lejeune's got Piggly Wiggly. What do they have in Texas? What's your supermarket?
We got H-E-B and Kroger's.
H-E-B, Kroger's big Midwest. Kroger big Midwest.
Yeah. They're two different stores. It's not H-E-B, Kroger. It's Kroger and or H-E-B.
All right. Good enough. All right, you have a good weekend, and I will talk to you.
All right, man. I'll talk to you later.
There you have it. Week from Monday. Gunner and I, co-located.
Yeah.
Going to do some damage.
Oh, God. All right. I'll talk to you later.
All right. There you have it. That's right. Let me tell you, when we have a pretty good time together. If you can't tell, we have a good time on the phone. But when we're together in person, when we can mess with other people, and a lot of our friends are going to be there too. So we will be in a high state of spin when it happens. 60-foot waves in the North Atlantic, December of 1964, returning from Steel Pike on a 600-foot LSD. Let me tell you, the amphibs get caught in that stuff? Horrible. You want to know why? See, the Blue Water Navy, right, when you look at their hulls, they're built for the blue water. The brown water navy, the flatboat navy, the amphibious navy, yeah, those things get tossed around like ping pong balls. Blue water coming over the bridge. Let me just tell you, it is pretty sobering experience when Mother Nature gets a hold of your ass. Yeah, she a bitch. No, just the power of Mother Nature. Holy shit. Yeah, imagine, you know. So I was, after my ship, I thought was going to split in half that night. I don't know who I was talking to. I was either talking to the chief engineer, the Chang, as he's known, or I was talking to one of the surface warfare officer guys, a guy named Mike O'Connor. was like he was like I think he's called like the lead bosun or something like that. So like the bosuns are like the grunts of the ship. They do all the like the shitty stuff. And Michael Connor was he was the lieutenant commander. He was like the chief bosun. So but he's a surface warfare officer guy. So I said so I asked him. I said, "Hey sir, what happened?" He said, "Well, you have the physics of the ocean and big troughs, really big troughs. So you have a big wave followed by, you know, a really deep pocket behind it. And so the big wave shoves your nose up and then the ship goes through it and there's nothing behind it. And when they get huge like that, I mean, essentially the hull, you know, when it, we get enough weight over the initial wave, right, the bow comes down and essentially falls. Like, shit. And he said, yeah, bad stuff happens. He said, but these boats are put together pretty well. But the amphibs, flat boats, flat bottom boats, they're not cutting so much through the water as they are floating on top of it. And, man, those guys, those poor sumbitches, yeah. Anyway, let me get, there's a couple more emails, one more email. Mississippi is cooler. Don't tempt him because he'll leave Texas. He'll go to Mississippi. He's a carpetbagger. This is like live Almarin Radio comment. Mac, why is any of this even being talked about in open source? And to characterize any of this as acts of war is insanely irresponsible. What do people want? Actual war? I think he's talking about Dan Coates when he was on, when I was playing the audio from the Aspen Security Summit. The question is, what can you do to somebody's country through cyber warfare that might be a essentially an electronic 9/11, is I think the term that kind of sort of got used. So that was the discussion in terms of why are we talking about this open source? Well, and I would just say this. You're talking about it in open source because that level of detail is commonly known. Now, we civilians may not know it, but everybody who's doing information stuff, this is unclassified to them. So that's why it would be talked about in open source. Here's another one about Coates. Coates has a stellar reputation. One of the good guys that passed confirmation pretty smoothly, if I recall correctly. Did you notice that twice you mentioned that we've had internal attempts to affect vote counts? Andrea Mitchell let those statements slide without any curiosity, but she did manage to slip in the comment about, quote, Putin preferring Trump to win the election as if that was a factual certainty. If that is true, and I have serious doubts, I'll bet he didn't count on Mattis, Kelly, Bolton, Tillerson, Pompeo et al. To show up. I had to chuckle when you warned us conservatives about her bias. We are very similar in our bias. You know what? Again, as I listened to it yesterday, it irritated me because Coates doesn't do a lot of that stuff. And so what he thought he was signing up for was to talk about national security. What he got served up in probably the first, there was probably the first 20 minutes, what weren't questions about national security and intelligence and issues like that. There were political questions asked about the president, right? And as I said, you know, he went out of his way to point out the president's inquisitive about his intel assessments, and often they go over, and he kind of mimicked this interaction between the president and his secretary saying, no, you need to push whatever's next back. I need more time here. That won't get into your paper. But again, the shit show that is President Trump, the unforced errors, and again, I'm a fan of his policies, but the other stuff, like his performance this week, and now it being capped off by a story in the New York Times that evidently there's an audio recording of him talking about another settlement. So again, it's just messy. It's sloppy. A guy who didn't lead his life by the standards of somebody who's going to be a public servant, but a guy who is who's a entrepreneur businessman who is just making deals, paying people off when he has to in order to maintain his business. So to say that when the two collide, it's difficult. So again, it's certainly not his best week. Certainly not his best week. The but I will say this: if you go to the Aspen Security Forum website, you're going to see again a whole series of really articulate discussions by policymakers, and I would encourage you check them out. Quality stuff. Much like the Shangri-La dialogue is. If you want to get smart, listen to these people in long format. Not the if you listen to the Howdy Doody / Jerry Springer shit on national TV. For instance, I mean what you're seeing on the news today is pictures of a Playboy model and the Cohen thing. Really? That's designed to better inform the country? No. No, we all know that. So anyway, don't be confused though, right? That's not the nation. That is a characterization, a slice of the nation designed to optimize profits for your media. It's not my media. I know. God forbid. Anyway, thanks for listening. If you are just tuning in, don't touch that dial. It's a pretty good. It's a show that I would tell you is inspirational. It may not come across like that, but I would tell you that it is inspirational. What you'll hear is Dan Coates today in hour two, and then the Gunner in hour three, and both are merit. First of all, we talk about the Duck W, which is a subject of much news. But I would tell you that even the Duck W has been pushed to the back page by the latest breaking news about strippers and hush money. There you go. That's what's important. So, anyway, have a great weekend. On Friday, All Marine Radio. Happy birthday to my daughter, Catherine. 25 years old today. That's right. So happy birthday to her. On Friday, All Marine Radio. Over and out.